Support and opposition to the Common Core does not break down cleanly along party lines. On the one hand, Florida's Governor Jeb Bush is a big supporter of the standards. On the other, folks like conservative talk show host Glenn Beck have been hammering away at the Common Core and its associated testing for some time.
You are going to be data mined. Your kid is going to be monitored. Their brains are going to be scanned through fMRIs.
With this type of talk, you can see why some are agitated. Last week, the Manchester Curriculum and Instruction Committee heard from about a dozen concerned citizens.
My name is Lisa Gravel. I live on Belmont Street in Ward 7.
Most of those in attendance were concerned that during standardized tests, students would be asked invasive questions.
They're going to be asking you information about your parents, like what kind of political signs do you put in your yard? Is your parent a Republican or a Democrat? You know, that's none of their business.
That statement, by the way, is not true in New Hampshire. The state's Department of Education says it has not signed on to any additional data collection in conjunction with the new standardized tests, called the Smarter Balanced. The test will ask students for their name, grade, and birthday, just like with their current assessment, the NECAP. The activists file out as soon as the public comment session is closed, and outside the chambers, Gravel doubles down.
I feel like this Common Core thing is just evil. I mean, I'm going to call it what I think it is. I think it's evil.
In other states, opposition to the Common Core has a more solid toehold. In Michigan, lawmakers passed a budget that prohibits spending money on implementing the standards. In Indiana, they voted to delay its rollout and have more public meetings on whether to stick with the standards. Some other states, Utah, South Carolina, Alabama, Kansas, and Missouri, have introduced similar anti-Common Core legislation, but it hasn't gone anywhere.
So this is a process that I like having the parents involved. I think that's a worthwhile process.
Long after Lisa Gravel and the other activists leave the Manchester Curriculum and Instruction Committee, discussion continues. After a little while, school board member John Avard addresses their concerns.
Political affiliation, religion, voting habits, shoe size, and bad breath, it sounds like. From everything I've seen, there's no validity to this. This whole issue with the data mining is not founded.
But the criticisms aren't all so wild-eyed. Opponents complain that appointed state-level bureaucrats adopted the standards and not local school boards or the legislature. They claim that states were bribed into adopting the standards when the feds dangled billions of dollars in competitive race-to-the-top education grants in front of them. And they call the standards an unfunded mandate. Some of these critiques are on target. For instance, the state hasn't done any calculations, but between new textbooks, teacher training, and technology investments, implementing the Common Core won't be cheap. And schools have been given no additional funds to support the transition. Also, Paul Leather, New Hampshire's Deputy Secretary of Education, says, yes, neither legislators nor school boards got to vote on the standards. He says the governor-appointed State Board of Education voted to adopt the standards, just like when it voted to adopt the New Hampshire standards that preceded the Common Core.
So that was the process that New Hampshire has used. And so when we did it this time, we'd use the same process. It was only after that when we started to hear from certain members of the legislature that they had a concern about that issue was raised.
But Leather denies that being eligible for Race to the Top funding was a major factor in choosing to adopt the Common Core in 2010. To get those funds, the state could have adopted any standards that the feds deemed to be college and career ready.
We were applying for Race to the Top funds at the time, and so since we were going through that adoption process anyway, we didn't see it as one causing the other. They were happening simultaneously.
Once, when I was reporting on an unrelated story, Leather told me out of the blue that he thought the Common Core is the most exciting education policy happening today. The idea that this is a bitter pill that education officials have swallowed to get funds doesn't seem to line up with their genuine enthusiasm about the initiative. But whether or not New Hampshire officials felt coerced, it's clear that President Obama considers the adoption of the Common Core to be an education policy victory, one that was driven by Race to the Top. Here he is in his 2011 State of the Union address.
Race to the Top is the most meaningful reform of our public schools in a generation. For less than 1% of what we spend on education each year, it has led over 40 states to raise their standards for teaching and learning. And these standards were developed, by the way, not by Washington, but by Republican and Democratic governors throughout the country.
But what about those standards? What do opponents say about them? Conservative critics like Anne-Marie Banfield with the New Hampshire conservative advocacy group Cornerstone Action say the Common Core is not rigorous enough.
You know, that's the question I think every parent should ask. Why are we settling for mediocrity?
But that is a direct contradiction to what many educators are saying.
Yeah, my name is Tom Newkirk. I teach at the University of New Hampshire.
Newkirk is the founder of the UNH Literacy Institute and used to teach at-risk high school students. He says on the reading side, the standards ratchet up the difficulty of texts and adds more emphasis on nonfiction in an effort to improve students' reading grade level. But Newkirk says this ignores a more fundamental problem in public education today.
Kids just don't read enough. And if you don't read enough, and then you put a hard text, you know, Grapes of Wrath, in front of a kid who's kind of sailed through middle school, they're just going to be defeated by it.
Newkirk couches his dislike of the Common Core in pretty simple terms. He sees it as an extension of Bush-era education policies.
Common Core is the child of No Child Left Behind.
Despite all the heat that the Common Core has engendered in certain circles, for many whom this change will actually affect, it remains under the radar. The New Hampshire Stop the Common Core Facebook page has only about 400 likes. Last month, the Raymond School District in southeastern New Hampshire hosted a parents' information night. Past the packed Zumba class and the kids dribbling a basketball in the hallway, administrators gave a talk about the Common Core, as well as some of the changes being made to student report cards.
And what you see a couple things up here. Those are all the actual standards. Common Core broke up English language arts into domains.
At that presentation, there were five administrators, but only one parent made it out, Karen Jones. I asked her how she felt about the new standards.
It's worth a shot, and I have faith in the people that run the committee that did it, put all the work into it. So I think that they definitely have our kids' best interests at heart. So I'm putting my faith in them, and I think it'll be a good thing.
Ultimately, every parent has to put their faith in the people educating their kids. And as the Common Core rolls out, it'll be no different. Controversy aside, at this point, the Common Core is going forward, starting this fall. School by school, there'll be a lot of variety in how these standards are implemented. And that's what we'll look at tomorrow. What will the Common Core look like in the classroom? For NHPR News, I'm Sam Evans-Brown.